The title of our lesson today is Peace in a Troubled World. And our devotional background study is broken up into two parts, Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 14, and Isaiah chapter 48, verses 16 through 22. Starting with Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And the second part of our devotional background, Isaiah chapter 48, verse 16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans. With a voice of singing declare ye, tell this, utter it even to the end of the earth. Say ye, the Lord hath redeemed his servant Jacob. And they thirsted not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Would there be any announcements before we go to our class? If not, let's go to our Sunday school class. The title of our lesson is Peace in a Troubled World. And I couldn't help but think, as Cindy was talking, the things that she described was that it sounded to me like a peace that she got from something that was going on in her life that the Lord delivered to her. Now, I don't want to put words in her mouth, but that was the impression that I got. And as I studied this lesson, also, that was a thought that came to my mind that, you know, we're blessed in that we can have problems in this world, and we will have problems, and the Bible tells us we're going to have problems, but we have the Lord there that can help us through those things. Not to make it just a bed of roses all the time, but certainly I can't see how people without the Lord make it through the things that all men are faced with. All people are faced with problems and troubles. That's just the nature of this world. And without the Lord, it's difficult to imagine that, how that they can do it. And I'll probably get back into that here in just a minute. But I'll read our lesson text here, and then we'll go back to that. And the Matthew chapter 10, verses 22 through 28.
And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And the lesson key, ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Now, he says here in the 22nd verse, but when they persecute you in the city, flee ye into another. We're not really faced with persecution the way that we typically tend to think of persecution. That is, we're not put in jail, we're not put to death, we're not tortured or hauled off. But and I think it was in the commentary the writer said that had that those things not happened to the early church, they would have probably stayed there in Jerusalem and just kind of clumped up and not moved out. But through persecution, the gospel was spread because they had to flee. They couldn't stay in that city. And the areas that they fled to, they took the gospel with them and delivered those things. And that's what Jesus is telling them there, that when they're in those cities and they begin to become persecuted to a point that they couldn't stay there any longer, to flee, go to another city. And the thought that comes to my mind is because the men that those early Christians were around hardened their hearts and refused to listen. They were unwilling to hear what was being delivered unto them. And the Bible teaches us, cast not your pearls before swine. That is, there are some men that just absolutely won't listen. They're not going to. They've made their mind up, and they're stubborn and hard-hearted, and they won't listen. And God knows those men. Now, I don't, and I don't believe anyone here does. So we can't decide ourselves who to take the gospel to and who to talk to and who to testify before, but rather we ought to be led by the Spirit of God. But the Lord knows, and He knows the directions that we need to go. Now, I spoke about that we're not persecuted, but we are around people, and we have an obligation and a duty to testify of the Lord before those, whether it's to tell our story of how the Lord saved our soul, or tell them what the Bible, the things that we can learn from the Bible, whatever it is the Lord impresses on our heart, we are to stand up before men that we're around on our everyday lives and talk to them and let them know and to be an example, as it says here, of the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're a spiritual city, and we ought to let our light shine. Now, I don't know what the future holds, whether there's a persecution coming or if I'll live out my days and not be persecuted. I don't know. But I do believe that we have an example here that once we've delivered the gospel and we've done all that we can do, we're to stand. We're to continue to stand for the Lord, to take that to somebody else, to don't give up. Don't just say, well, I did the best I could. That's all I can do. I'm just going to take it easy now. That's not anything that's described in the Bible. Rather, we're to keep on, whether it's in Nashville or out in Rockville, Murfreesboro, or if the Lord calls upon me to go to some other city, whatever the case is, I am to stand for the Lord. That's my duty. That's what I have in front of me. Now, having said all that, and what I said earlier about the Lord being there for us to give us that peace, we need to understand that we're not guaranteed, and I think everybody here does know this, we're not guaranteed that it's going to be easy. We may very well be in for some rude treatment, maybe not necessarily to be persecuted in the sense physically persecuted, but we might be laughed at. I mean, that's very possible. We may have someone that gets mad at us, gets angry, maybe even cusses us out. I mean, I don't know. But we need to be prepared for that. We need to be understanding that this is spiritual warfare that's going on, and we have the Spirit of the Lord on our side. We that are saved have the Spirit of the Lord. We need to be doing His will, and to be sure in prayer and studying of our Bibles that we know where we are in not... first of all, we need to know that we're saved. But beyond that, we need to know what it is He'd have us do. Don't not to be trying to strike out and say, you know, I think this person right here, he's a good candidate. He'll listen to me. And certainly I think that we ought to always be willing to talk to any man or any man or woman. But we need to be in a position where God can use us in that... we're willing to listen to Him. We're willing to be led by Him. And to be honest with you, that's a struggle for me sometimes, because I tend to get complacent. I tend to get at ease. I tend to get concerned and thoughtful about things that are around me. And I think that's human nature to kind of want to plan my own life out, kind of have a course that I think's best, and this is what I want to do. Put myself first. Put my own thoughts first. Put my will first. That's my tendency, and that's not right. That's not the way that the Lord has designated events to occur, but rather that I lay my will aside, and that's the struggle, the inward man versus the outward man, to allow the Spirit of the Lord, which is in me. I feel His Spirit. I identify when I hear people stand up and they testify what Cindy was talking about. I can feel that, and I understand that Spirit, how that it can lead me. But it's still a struggle. It's still me wanting my mind to think out, well, I'm a smart fella. I know what needs to be done. I know how it works. Let me map out a course here. And that's not right. And I know that thing even with my mind, but it's still hard to allow my mind to put it under subjection to the Spirit of the Lord that's in me, that I do feel. But anyway, moving on, he speaks here about in the 26th verse, he says, fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. We're not to fear men. We're not to fear ridicule or the anger from other men. But and the Lord says here, it's all going to be uncovered. The reason for their anger, the reason for the persecutions, their inward thoughts, that's all going to be uncovered. It's going to be pulled out into the light of day. But beyond all that, my thoughts and my actions are going to be uncovered as well. The things that are done in secret by all of us, or that are false, they're going to be brought out. I believe that's what he's saying here, that because he said there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. And he goes on and says, what I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Now, when he says, what I tell you in darkness, I believe what that's referring to, and I could be wrong, but I believe that's when we get off ourselves and we can pray, and we can get a spiritual connection to the Lord, we get down humble, and the Lord answers our prayers, and He lets us know what He wants to be done, then we're to go out and we're to preach ye upon the housetops, he says. To let it be known, to spread that word that He gives to us. That's our duty. That's where we are. And that's many times that's in conflict with our own, agenda, for lack of a better word, because he says here to fear them not. I'm not afraid of persecution at this time. I don't think that we're in a time where that's going to happen. But I do have enough pride that I don't want to be laughed at. That's not right, but that is where I am most of the time. I don't want people mad at me. I don't like it when I know that somebody's angry with me. It's just not the way that I am. And so I want those things to not happen. And I guess I worry about that. I'm concerned about that. And that's not what he's saying here. I need to be concerned with what Jesus thinks. Because it says here that there's nothing covered. There's nothing that's not going to be unhidden. And I need to be constantly, but I need to be very well aware of that and thinking on that and knowing that the Lord sees me. He knows my thoughts. He knows everything that I've done, everything that I'm going to do. And I ought to be a lot more concerned with that than what it is the people that I work with think, or the people that I meet in a store, or the people that I talk to in my day-to-day comings and goings. Because I need to be talking to the Lord. I need to be thinking about what He wants me to do, what He thinks, whether I've offended Him or not. Because that, I believe that's what He's saying here, that when He says, fear not them which are able to kill them. You know, if our government suddenly decides that it's going to stop Christianity, and I mean it, there have been governments that have done that in the past, that we can look back on history and read through the dark ages about the things that happened to those people, and I'm not sure that won't happen again. We still shouldn't fear that. And you can read about in the Trail of Blood about how people were put to death, how the government sanctioned the murder and the persecution and the torment of millions of people, and how that they stood up for the Lord, how they stood and they took that and were put to death for it because they feared the Lord. And when I say fear, I don't mean fear in a bad way, but rather they worshiped the Lord. They were true servants to God, knowing that He would protect them. Even if they had to be put to death, He would still be there with them to give them that comfort and that peace. And we can read about people that sang as they were being led to be, knowing what was in front of them, but they sang hymns and they praised God. That's a peace that passes understanding in my mind. I can't imagine that. But I do believe that if I'll serve God the best that I can and put my mind, put the other things of the world outside of my mind, and concentrate on what the Lord would have me to do, that He'll give me that same peace and that assurance and that comfort when things get rough, whether it's rough through persecution or whether it's just having somebody angry at me. Lord will be there to take me through that. He'll see me through it, and He'll give me that comfort and that peace that they had also. While I was studying this, I thought about all the different types of religion there are. There's all kinds of names just in the realm of Christianity. There's all kinds of names of churches that profess to proclaim Christ. Y'all know this. Y'all know the various, and some of them have some kind of strange beliefs from my way of thinking. I don't suppose they think it are, but is, but it seems, some of the things seem really strange. Those were all started by people, I believe, that were looking for peace. They were looking for something. They wanted to somehow connect to God. But Satan clouded somebody's mind at some point, and he used pride, because it's not a good feeling thing to humble yourself. It's not something that comes natural to want to bow down and humble yourself and confess your sins and admit to God that you're not worthy of salvation, and to beg Him to repent and to ask Him to save your soul. So a lot of different things kind of sprang up throughout the ages of ways that men have devised to get back in connection with God, to find that peace that people are looking for. And so I think that's where these various religions have come from, these different practices. And Satan is he's the author of confusion. And that's what this is confusion in this world. Because man, as a race, mankind wants to get back to God. That he wants to make a connection with God. But also the natural thought and feeling is to do it on our terms, mankind's terms, to set up something. Okay, here's the plan, here's the path, here's the way that we're going to do it. And we all know that that won't work, that there is no other way other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's something that our natural being wants to rebel against. And that's kind of a testament to the condition of mankind and the stubbornness of mankind, all the different ways that have been devised to try to get this peace that comes from God, all the many ways that men want to go about obtaining that I believe all people feel in their heart that there's something missing. They feel that they need something, and there's all these different ways devised, and yet we know there's only one way, and it's our job to spread that, to teach people, to talk to people, let them know there is only one way, and that is, as I said, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm just about done. You know, at the very start, I talked about what it was that Cindy had to say, and the feeling I got that the Lord comforted her. And I can say that I've been through some hard times occasionally, maybe not, probably not the difficulties that many of y'all have faced, but nevertheless, I mean, we all we have troubles in our lives, and I know that the Lord is able to see me through. And the times when I've humbled myself to Him, He's answered my prayers. And many times, whatever it was that I was worried about didn't even come to pass at all. But I have to believe that had I not turned to the Lord, that there was something around the corner that was going to get to me. There was something there, and I believe the Lord just headed it off. He just stopped it, and I could just go on past it and not be faced with it. And I also believe that had I not been willing to humble myself before Him and pray to Him, that I would probably have run smack into it. And the thought that comes to my mind is, what was the prophet that was on the donkey, and the donkey stopped because it saw the angel of the Lord ready to slay him? My mind's gone right. Something with a B. Who? Baal. Yes, I think that was it. And because Baal wasn't really in tune with what God would have him to do, and yet God was still there to stop him. Had he hardened his heart and just kept on, I believe that there was a sword there to put him to bring a halt to him. I don't want to be like that. I want to be quick to humble myself. I want to be quick to drop down and seek the Lord for His guidance and His leadership. Can't say that I always am, but that's the way I want to be. And because that is where the peace comes from. There's never going to be peace on this world. It's not going to happen. I don't know. There's probably a religion that teaches that there will be. I know there's one that teaches there's going to be a warming up of the earth, and all the bad people, I guess, are going somewhere, and the ones that are left behind are going to inhabit the earth, and it's going to be paradise here on earth. That's not going to happen. This world is never going to have peace without war and strife and trouble and turmoil. That possibility of that ended in the Garden of Eden. And so this world is going to be, the end result is going to be, it's going to be burned up with fire. 2 Peter tells us that. It's going to be completely destroyed. So anybody that's looking for a worldly peace is misguided, and they need to understand that the only peace that is possible is peace with God, and the only way that is possible is through Jesus Christ. I don't have anything else. Does anybody have any comments?
I think you hit it right on the head. On the peace, for everyone, anybody, peace from God, and that's when your soul is saved. And you could say, I got peace. And that means you ain't got trouble in the mind, trouble in the heart. Just at ease. And that's the peace I think it's talking about here. Peace in a troubled world.
Mm-hmm.
There ain't no peace in this troubled world. I don't think there ever will be. I don't think there'll be peace in a troubled world. But if it didn't have peace when Christ was here, I don't think we could have it now. They had trouble when he was here, and he was God.
Yeah. Yeah, they had trouble in a lot of it. Yeah. And there's been a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I believe there will be a lot of trouble all the way to the end. I appreciate y'all being here today, and I hope you got something out of the lesson. Let's be dismissed and keep the preacher in our prayers. Don, would you dismiss us?
Okay.